The study is looking for information toward improved treatments for concussions. What exactly is it that we could do better?
Right now, the main treatment for concussion is actually rest. But we don't know actually how much rest is good and for whom. One individual may recover rather completely within hours, days. A small subset of individuals tend to show a little bit longer recovery, and we need to be able to better identify who those people are and what factors in their background might contribute to prolonged recovery, or maybe even give us some indication as to who might respond best to some specific treatment.
When I saw the announcement about what's being called the context study, I was surprised when it said there's currently no coordination or standardization of care management and no study to evaluate the treatment or outcomes. How's that possible after all of this time of dealing with concussion?
You know, the NFL has done a great job increasing public awareness. All states now have mandatory remove from play laws for high school kids. So that's just been since 2011, since a lot of the states passed these laws. So the awareness has really only been heightened in recent years. And simply defining and identifying concussion can be a challenge too.
You're going to study people age 5 and older, which is pretty wide scope. But why start so young?
The effects of concussion differ based on age a bit. It doesn't take as much of a hit to cause a concussion for someone who's much younger, obviously. And then the fully developed adult brain isn't myelinated, if you will, or fully innervated until the early 20s, actually. So we're actually very interested in gender differences in rates of recovery. Right now, we don't even know the actual incidence of concussion across the state. We don't have records to tell us how many occur in each city, district, state, etc. So we need some basic information about just the frequency of injuries. And then what is the typical recovery curve for these different age groups by gender, by socioeconomic status, other medical history and family history factors, and so on.
Do we have some established theories that we're looking at that you want to validate or prove wrong if that turns out to be the case?
Of course, there's a lot of myths about concussion, and we're interested in a number of questions, actually. What are the longer-term potential effects? Concussions occur with or without loss of consciousness. Most of them are not accompanied by a loss of consciousness, in fact, so they can be difficult to detect. And we're also very interested in studying people who have had a number of concussions and what happens to them as they age as well.
What is the top question that dogs you about concussions?
How can we identify the best treatment for which individuals? Studies have shown that actually too much rest is not good. If you take a high school athlete out of their environment, keep them home, away from cell phones, TVs, a lot of electronics, i.e. their usual routine, you can actually cause increases in symptoms of anxiety and depression, which can be symptoms of concussion. So you get this circular situation going on where you're not sure what's producing the symptoms. So we're learning now that it's best to give people a little bit of time for relaxation, if you will, but then to slowly and progressively in a graded fashion get them back to their normal routine fairly quickly, actually.
Dr. Monroe Cullen, thank you for being with me.
Thank you very much.